This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9. We're joined by very special guest, comedian Joseph Green. How are you tonight, Joe?
Very good, gentlemen. How are you?
Thank you
very
so good. Great. Very We're good. Great. But thank you so much for dropping in tonight. We just saw you wandering around downstairs.
At this time of night.
Exactly. And we thought, you know, we'll just let you in and have a chat. Why not have a chat with Joe?
Thank you.
Hot cup of Joe.
Yeah.
Do you need a cup of Joe?
Is that a legitimate offer? I feel like I would love a cup of Joe, but I feel like if I said yes, you're not going to get me a cup of Joe.
It will happen in about 20 minutes.
No, it'll happen. You have to wait 20 minutes, and we probably could signal to someone. I don't think there's anyone in the studio
How do you sign language for a cup of coffee?
I don't know.
Is that what a cup of Joe is? It has to be coffee.
I think so.
Or we just put you in a cup, Joe.
Ooh. Could do that. I would love to do that.
So were you born in Melbourne?
I was born in Melbourne, yeah.
So did you, you got into comedy in Melbourne then?
Yes, I did.
When did you get into comedy?
Well, the first time I ever did stand up was maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
Right.
And then I did a handful of gigs and then I stopped completely.
Right.
And then I did, was at uni at the time.
Mm.
Then at Monash. Then I left Monash. And I went to Sydney. I'd been studying arts law and Monash.
Oh.
And then...
arts and law, so arts, a double degree there.
Yeah, and so I was working at a law firm and then left that.
Lawyer life.
Yeah, then trying to start working as an actor in Sydney.
Okay. Right. Wow.
And then moved to New York and trained at a theatre company there and lived there for maybe 3 or 4 years.
So what was the reason to move from Melbourne to Sydney?
As an actor.
So did you even try in Melbourne or?
Well, I'd been doing, theatre stuff with Monash Theatre.
Right.
But I would, studying was like my main thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought I really want to have a real crack at this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, sometimes in your life when you just feel like things are shifting and changing and turning, you think you're gonna change everything.
Yeah.
So I finished working law firm on Bourke Street, around the corner from where we are. Well, we are on Bourke Street.
Yeah.
But the Southern Cross end. And 45 minutes later, I got on a train to Sydney.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Nice. Yeah. How long's that train ride to Sydney?
It's overnight. Maybe 12-ish hours.
Yeah. That's
right. Wow. So, and once you hit Sydney, what sort of... how did you find your first acting gigs and stuff like that? How did you go about it?
So I didn't know anyone or anything.
Wow.
I enrolled in a few classes, and then
did you try and find an agent?
Well, because I didn't really have any experience. I had done a couple of short films and plays at Monash.
Yeah,
and then I got very lucky because I went to Coogee one day on my bike, and I met a Reiki master.
Oh wow!
Yes,
and then she gave me a room at her house. She'd had the room previously.
Right.
Had been her healing center.
Right.
And then she was downsizing the whole Reiki practice.
And that's where it wasn't working out for her.
That's where I came in. And then one evening there's a play festival called the Short and Sweet Festival.
Okay.
And she was working there in some capacity and she brought some actors there one night and I was telling some stories and doing some impersonations.
Right.
Oh. And there was a girl, Arianwen, who's on a show called A Place to Call Home.
Uh-huh.
And she'd just finished NIDA. She said, do you have an agent? I said, no, I don't. And she said, you should just film those impersonations you were doing then.
Really?
And send it to agents. So that's what I did.
So did you set up a home camera and did the straight down the barrel?
There's a place called the Audition Room.
Right.
And there's a few similar places in Melbourne where you can just go in and
cut together
do a scene, do a monologue, whatever you want to do.
Right on.
So I did that. And then one night I just wrote my resume and covering letter, got on my bike and rode all around Sydney.
Yeah,
nice.
Dropped these letters off.
To agents.
Yeah, and then I got an agent the next day.
Wow.
She was a very good agent.
What's that process like of, you know, talking to agents and dealing with agents? What's, you know, sitting in that room and being like, well, what can we do for you sort of thing? What is that sort of process like?
Do you tell them that I've just got these big ideas, what can you do for me?
Yep.
Or is it that, all right, how do you make that plan of attack for how you're going to go about everything?
Well, I think it's like any relationship. You have to be honest about who you are, what you want.
You want to
be yourself as much as you can in those circumstances, because otherwise it's just going to make the whole foundation wobbly if start being like, yeah, I want an Oscar in the next 12 months. I'm ambitious. I'm like, okay, just let's play the long game here, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. So how long till the first gig you got through the agency? So you go out on a lot of auditions and stuff like
that. I did an audition like the next day for Sea Patrol, a Channel 10 show.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Which I probably bombed really hard. Mm. I'm sure I did.
How can you feel that bomb? Because, I mean, you know, as opposed to comedy, you can feel a bomb. But like...
Yeah, that's a good question. You just feel like... I'll tell you a story of my biggest bomb in an audition.
Right.
And as soon as I knew it, I was actually... Well, I'll just tell you this story.
Okay.
So it was in America. It was my first real audition of any sort in America. And it was in front of an agent. And I thought heaps of people had said, just be American, man. Don't tell them you're Australian.
Oh,
go in there, be an American. Yeah.
So you had your American accent down.
Yeah. So I thought, yeah, I'll go in there. And I was so attached to the idea of, oh, what do they want? What are they looking for?
Yeah,
and I thought, you know, TV, there's a lot of big TV turnover in America. I'll go in there. Being that person. So I go in, I do my monologue in an American accent.
Ooh, yep.
And then they have a chat. They're like, so Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself. Do you watch a lot of television, film? What are you into? And I was like, yeah, I watch heaps of TV, man. I don't really watch any TV. I watch a lot of film and a fair bit of theater, but not really any TV. Okay. And he says, so what TV show is it you into?
Oh, no.
And so I was thinking, oh, NCSI? You know that show,
NCIS? Yeah.
NCIS. See, I'm still fucking it up. Sorry, it's for sure. That show, NCIS.
NCIS.
I've never watched a single episode, but I knew it had a high turnover of actors.
Right.
So I thought, I'll just make that my favorite TV show.
Yeah.
And so I tried to say NCIS, but every day I would go past NYU.
Oh,
so I just looked him in the eye and said, NYU?
Oh, no.
And he's like,
that's awesome.
He says, your favorite show is NYU? And it was this just that moment where you've fallen off the cliff face.
Yeah.
And you see the guy standing there and you just got falling in slow-mo. And I just said, yeah, NYU.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so I just dug in deep. He's like, tell me, what do you like about NYU?
And he's feeding it back to
drama. I knew I was going down, and I'm like, I'm just this guy's Saturday night story now.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's great, you know, diverse cast, really got drama and comedy. And he's like, really comedy? I was like, yeah. And it just,
wow.
He's like, well, Joe, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Oh, my God.
At what point do you drop the accent? Do you leave until the door closes and
Do you say,
I literally left that room. And I thought, oh, my God, it will never get worse than that.
That's it.
I can't get any worse.
Please tell me you asked them to validate your parking in an Australian accent. But so you made a big jump to America.
Yes.
But how long were you in Sydney for?
One year in Sydney.
1 year in Sydney.
Yeah, in America, working, training with the theatre company. But then I started modelling there. So
in America.
That became my main source of income.
Right. So was it the same sort of thought process from Melbourne to Sydney to LA, I'm going to presume? Was it LA?
New York. When I was in America.
Oh, New York. Nice.
So
was it the same sort of thought process of, oh, you know, I just want to make it to the next sort of level,
pursue this. And looking back, like, I hadn't really worked. I'd done one pilot for Channel 7 before I left.
Oh, that's cool.
But I wasn't...
What was the name of the pilot?
It was called the Mixed Kitchen or something like this. Okay. Before, it's just in when on the verge of when all these
cooking shows were kicking off.
Yeah. So they were like trying to piggyback on that, I think.
Right. So how long were you in America for, though?
For 4 years.
4 years. Yeah. Wow, okay. Yeah. So
still, I had done a smattering of stand-up, but it was only when I came back to Melbourne and I did a play called The Exonerated, which I actually promoted in where we're sitting right now.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. Right on.
And then six of the people in that play were, well, we were playing people who were on death row for crimes they didn't commit. And while we were rehearsing, was during the comedy festival.
Right.
And I reckon I spent $800 maybe on tickets to comedy festival show.
Really?
Wow.
Nice. And committed.
Yeah.
Supportive.
And I mean, it would have been cheaper to register a show.
Yeah, that's right.
Not do a show.
That's like $500.
Yeah, $500, and then just go for free. Yeah. I would have saved a lot of money. But it was after that show because the director said, if you're on death row and then you're released, what would you do? I'm like, I just want to do my own stand-up comedy show.
That's right.
And so as soon as that play finished, I just started doing stand-up.
Really?
Yeah.
In Melbourne. Did you have any knowledge of like the Melbourne scene sort of thing?
A little bit.
Did you know which rooms to go to?
I was aware of the rooms like Spleen.
Yep.
Not much else. Maybe The Wild at the time.
Yep.
The Wild was on. And
so you were just hitting up those open mic spots and trying to really hone the skill there.
Yeah. And I did the first show I did. So I committed to doing a Fringe Festival show.
Nice.
In my lounge room. In 3 months after that play finished. And I hadn't been doing any stand-up. So I knew I just had to do a lot just to mitigate how bad I would be.
Right. Wait, so you wanted to do a Fringe show in your living room?
Yeah.
That was the venue?
The living room was the venue in Elwood.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So what was the turnout for that?
That was I would recommend that to anyone.
Yeah?
I think it's... My growth and what I learned doing that was awesome.
Were you doing stand-up?
Yeah, it was stand-up. Yeah. And so
did you set up a stage in your living room?
I didn't set up a stage. I mean, there was a performing space.
Right.
But, I mean, the top night would have been 25, 30 people, which was just chockers.
That's awesome. I don't think I've got 25 chairs for
particular night, there was standing room and people on the floor.
Oh, that's awesome. Right.
And so it was just awesome. It was just so packed. And that's what you want in stand-up.
Yeah.
You just want it shoulder to shoulder.
That's right.
Tight.
Wall to wall.
Tight room. Yeah. Well, while we set up our living rooms for a stand-up show.
Get a nice tight room.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be listening to this. We're still joined by very special guest comedian Joseph Green. Thank you so much for sticking around, Joe.
Thank you.
But during that song, you were doing some crazy dance moves.
Really grooving along to that. What's the name of that move with where both legs are moving at the same time?
Because then there was a lot of hands involved. Yeah. What do you call that, Joe?
It's just a traditional hokey pokey.
It did look traditional. It did
look very much traditional of a hokey pokey. That's good. We'll debate that later.
Yeah, we'll break that down. But your first show, you said, was a Fringe show. Out of your living room.
Living room.
Out of your lounge room.
Yes.
What an idea. That's awesome.
Have you taken your show to other venues or that show or a different show to
I have
to
performed
explore?
In other venues since.
Yes? Yeah.
Since my lounge room.
Well, I mean, you know, you would have taken a lot of time to make an hour show to make and produce and perform in your living room. Have you taken that show to other venues or is that a living room exclusive?
Well, no, I've taken bits of that show to other places. Yeah. I mean, most of the bits that form that show were all created at any open mic.
Yeah,
okay.
Around Melbourne.
Yeah,
and the closest. I mean, I did a half show with a guy called Rohan Gandra, another great comedian.
Yep.
Another great comedian. Just another one of cut from a similar cloth.
No, we'll vouch for you, Joe, don't worry.
And then, I guess I did a show this year that was a different show, so that doesn't answer your question at all.
No, was that for the Fringe or the Melbourne?
The Comedy Festival. So, really the only time I did that particular show was in my lounge room.
Wow.
That would have been a very exclusive show. I like that.
It was called Ah Yes, The Music.
Oh.
And there was a few nights that were really great, packed out. There was a few nights that were maybe, I had a two or a three...
Yeah.
Person audience. And one of them was this kind of middle-aged couple. And halfway through, I said, oh, what brings you guys out here today? And they said, oh, it's our anniversary. And nice. And they were from William. I said, where are you from? They said, oh, we're from Williamstown.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was in Elwood, so they came all the way from Williamstown.
Wow.
To Elwood. But then I found out that they were having the laugh because one of them was actually a reviewer.
Oh, what?
Yeah. No.
And she was a reviewer for the Scroggy Squirrel or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, right.
And
so, how did she review your show?
They said, you know, I was something like I was going off book a little bit. I was like, of course yeah. I was. You were the only yeah. two people in the audience. It would have been weird if I'm sticking to the script.
Yeah.
And then,
jeez.
And then they said, well, this is as fringe gets.
That's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, 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 that's right. That's traditional. That's fringe. Traditional
fringe. I put that in the promo in the next show.
Yeah. That's amazing. So how many comedy festivals have you been involved in?
Two.
Okay, so yes. The last two.
The last two.
And what about Fringes?
That was the only one.
Okay, right.
And I tell you, it's such a great way to make money.
Yeah.
It could be, if you're doing it in your lounge room.
Because you don't have to pay venue prices.
Yeah.
You just got to ask mum if it's okay if everyone comes around.
Well, I was living with one other guy, Jacob, and I was just standing in our lounge room one day. I said, man, I'd love to do it here. He said, dude, go for it.
That's awesome.
And so that's what I did. And
has anyone else done that? Is that a Joseph Green original?
No, I've subsequently heard people have done like one-off gigs in their backyard.
But
or,
not during the like.
No, I've never heard anyone doing it an extended run in their...
No. That's a Joe Green original.
Yeah. It feels good, man, because you're getting... If you get 10 people in paying... $15-$20 That's $150-$200
And especially in a studio apartment, that's going to look packed.
Yeah. Right? And you're done with the gig and you're like, all right, back to the bedroom.
Yeah. That's the green room.
Yeah,
that's
let yourselves out. Yeah.
So what was it that situation though where did you have to lock up your fridge or anything? Like, do you have to lock our things up?
I mean,
put police tape.
You meet people in your toilet.
Like, yeah, yeah.
These are all very good things to consider.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, in retrospect, one could say that apartment was designed for a Fringe Festival show because you sort of enter the apartment and you're immediately in the living room,
right,
which is the perfect performing space. And then sometimes I had one or even two openers for me.
Nice.
And then you go through another door into the kitchen, which was the green room.
That was the green room.
That was the green room you could come out from. And when it was packed, it was awesome. People were like, dude, this feels legit.
That's like, so good.
Yeah, it is.
Did you have photos? You should. Do you have any photos?
I think so. Yeah, there was probably some photos from it, and then the bathroom was next to that. Then my bedroom. So like, the security thing was fine and safe, and there's never an issue.
Yeah. So what's were you doing stand up in the US though?
I did.
You did?
At one point, I did like a few open. I went to a few open mics and got up
in New York.
In New York.
So where? What sort of rooms did you?
I actually performed at the Gotham Comedy Club, which is probably the best, like most reputable place.
Were you hanging out at the Cellar at all?
I was there last year, and I was every night. I was at the Cellar last year,
just waiting for a great lineup to happen.
Oh man, it was amazing.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a funny story. It was the day of the election, so it was the election day. It was on Wednesday. It was the Tuesday night,
right? Yep.
And it was like 1:30 in the morning, and the MC came on. He's like, guys, you might know this next dude from the Dave Chappelle show. Give it up for Dave, motherfucking Chappelle.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And the crowd go crazy. They have bananas. And Dave Chappelle just walks in. He came in with Naomi Campbell.
Wow.
What?
And he had a joint. He was rolling a joint on stage.
Yes.
And he had a beer. And then He just waited and was so relaxed. It was like watching a guy sitting on his patio after a long, hard day's work, just chilling.
Because that's his spot. That's his element, right?
Oh, man, it was amazing.
That's and so good.
Then this guy followed him called Godfrey, an African-American comedian. He's a really funny dude. And he crushed after.
Because that'd be freaking tough
very
to follow
hard.
Day.
Mark Norman followed him. Directly, then Godfrey closed the night, and both of them did amazing.
Nice, good.
And the next day, I was like, "Gee, I never heard of that Godfrey guy before." And I looked, started following him on Instagram.
Right.
And then my girlfriend started following him on Instagram.
Right.
Then within a minute, she's like, "Oh, Godfrey just hit me up."
What?
And I'm like, what do you mean? He followed you back? She's like, no, he's already slid into my DMs.
Oh my God.
Doesn't take him long.
Godfrey was in there.
Shit.
Didn't wait a minute.
No. Oh, wow. So did you have to slip into his DMs?
I did via her DMs. I was like,
did you play with him? Did you play a little game with him? Did you catfish him?
His first message was like, hey, girl. I'm like, hey, boy. And so we had some banter going back and forth.
That's awesome. Oh. How many...
There was real chemistry, was there, between you and...
There was.
How many eggplant emojis did you send?
Oh, so I stayed off the... I kept it classy, yeah. Stayed off the emojicons. I showed Godfrey I'm a classy woman.
That's okay, good. Okay. But so you were in the US for 4 years.
Yep.
What other shows did you go out and audition for?
What did I audition for? I did a lot of commercial sort of stuff. Yeah.
So what's that sort of process like? Is it a very quick... Is it an all-day shoot for a commercial?
Oh, for a commercial? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all-day shoot.
Most
okay.
of the time it's an all-day
And
shoot.
How many times do you get, like, the food platter out and, you know, like...
I feel like a dick saying that. But no. Most of the time.
Yeah?
That's most awesome.
The first big job I ever got was a campaign commercial thing for a... clothing company called Marco Polo in Germany.
Yeah.
And I was completely broke, but this job was very well paying job. Mm. And they had this huge infinite food platter at lunch. And I was just stocking up and just eating up and stocking up. And
that's what you should do.
And someone said, oh, they're doing swimwear after lunch.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, am I doing that? Yeah. And she's like, no, we've got an actual male model coming in for that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, sweet. And so everyone went left, and I just like carbo loading.
Right on.
On these amazing rolls, pasta. I'm like putting it in plastic containers, that's putting in my awesome backpack.
Did you BYO like Tupperware?
Well, I was asking the kitchen, can I have a few things?
Good, good.
And stocking up as much as my physical body could contain, and then the apparatus they were giving me. But then they came back and they're like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm just hanging here while you do the underwear and the swimwear. They're like, no, you're the guy. I'm like, oh, you said that. You said there was a model coming. They're like, dipshit, you're the model.
Oh, shit. No. Wow, you undersold yourself there, Joe.
Yeah, I did. I just assumed that. I was like, oh, great. Finally, they've worked out that I'm a complete phony.
So what made you come back to Melbourne then?
A visa had run out.
Yeah.
And then it was, and also I got an off-Broadway show.
Oh, right.
But I didn't have a green card. So then they gave it to me and then took it away from me.
Oh.
And that was the case or requirement that you have a green card for quite a lot of work.
Right.
And I just thought, oh, it'll be good to maybe just be home for a little bit. And
yeah. What sort of visa were you on to be over there for 4 years?
So I was on, J1 was the initial one,
right,
was the theatre company, and then an O1.
Right, okay.
Which is like an entertainment special
thing.
You can get as an actor or a comedian as well.
Really?
As a model, but there are quite specific limitations about what you can and cannot do.
Do you have to prove you're a comedian? Like, or do you have to do a 5-minute set over the phone?
Yeah, you have to. They would say, you know, send us some clips, send us some press, show us.
Sorry, you can green screen. You can green screen. That's fine.
Show us you've been on, you know, Joy FM with Zinji.
That's it.
So what, are you going to be in the next comedy festival coming up?
Yes, 2018? I'm doing a show.
So that's coming up in 2018. Yep. Yes. And what else have you got coming up? You have a podcast?
I do have it. I just released, started a podcast called Returning Home.
Returning Home. What's that about?
It's just about...
Just coming home every night.
Yeah, where you're from. Okay. How'd you get home?
Yeah.
What's your route?
Are you okay?
I started with Ivan Aristegueta.
Right.
Oh, wow.
From Venezuela.
Oh, wow.
Who's a lovely, lovely bloke. Very great comedian.
Right on.
And I've had David Quirk.
Uh-huh.
Dilruk,
yep.
Liv Hewson, and Pete. Except those haven't come out yet.
Ooh,
oh, unreleased, exclusive. The here at Laugh Out Proud. Here we go.
That's true.
But what about Twitters, Facebooks, Instagrams?
Yeah, you can find me, Joseph Green, on any of those aforementioned things.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, how do you find? Have you done comedy at a music festival before?
Yeah, I've done it at Earthcore, Strawberry Fields, and Rainbow Surf. I've done three.
What's it like doing, you know, playing to that sort of audience where everyone's in mind? And...
Yeah, did you find that the audience sound gets lost, though?
Yeah, there's no acoustics at all.
At Rainbow, I don't know if you guys have gone to any of those festivals, but at Rainbow, it was awful because there was just noise bleed from every direction.
Yeah.
And people were absolutely cooked.
Yeah.
And which is the case in most of the festivals.
Yeah.
But that one, it seemed like people legitimately just fast asleep in front of you.
Really?
So it's like, well, what are we doing here?
Just say anything.
I'm just like putting these guys to sleep. And...
just, yeah, their background noise. Yeah. No.
Well, that's the time to try the new material right there. That's it.
Well, but if... how's the new material going to go? It's going to bomb.
But you get to practice it out loud.
Yeah, out loud, in front of the mirror.
True.
Well, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been lovely.
You've been listening to Laugh Out Proud.
Z&G.
On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.